This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today. The Milwaukee Art Museum made a splash last month when leaders unveiled plans for a new addition. But to many critics, the splash was kind of a belly flop. The design was criticized as being uninspired, the museum equivalent of a big box store, between the iconic Saarinen building and the Calatrava addition. It's also on prime public lakefront real estate. Added to that was the revelation that lead architect Jim Shields of HGA Architects had left the project. It all led to a firestorm of criticism, including from the Journal Sentinel art and architecture critic, who last week called for no new building at all for now. Fast forward to today, Milwaukee Art Museum director Dan Keegan joins Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio, along with architect Jim Shields, who has returned to the project with a revamped design. Keegan began by explaining what he believes any extension to the museum needs to accomplish.
Well, this is a very complicated project because the Milwaukee Art Museum is made up of three buildings. We're a campus of three buildings. The, of course, Quadracci Pavilion, designed by Santiago Calatrava, and then two older buildings that are owned by Milwaukee County. And because of the deferred maintenance issues of those two buildings, we had an opportunity. Some would see it as a major problem challenge. We saw it as an opportunity to partner with the county to make the repairs and make some important improvements and renovations to those older buildings that house the permanent collection. And the real opportunity that we saw relative to that small piece that we will be adding on the east end, which is really reopening the east entrance. I mean, that's kind of the headline news around that new piece of architecture that will be there. Many people remember the days years ago when you could park in the north parking lot alongside the War Memorial and come directly into the museum. And, of course, over the years, that entire east facade of the Kaler addition has deteriorated greatly. It's been walled off. It leaks. The foundation leaks. So we see this as an opportunity to reactivate the east side of that important part of the museum's campus.
It also brings in more exhibition space, does it not?
It does in some significant ways. Not only will it add additional space for exhibiting the permanent collection, but up on the second level, there will be a very nice 4,000-square-foot changing gallery space. So in addition to the large Baker Rowland Gallery in Quadracci Pavilion, we'll have an exhibition space about half that size to do other exhibitions.
Well, Jim, from the architect's standpoint, what were some of the biggest challenges in terms of creating something that works in that space?
I think the biggest challenge, and it's typical of most buildings actually, is a conflict between the internal demands of the building and its program and the site. And trying to reconcile those things is actually the biggest problem in our profession and the biggest obstacle to doing nice buildings. Things that can work in the inside, you put them on a particular site and you go, this doesn't work here. And so finding that right fit was a real challenge in this case. In particular, building on the lakefront, Milwaukee's hallowed ground, as it were, the most controversial place to build a building, finding a way to get this building that has a lot of exhibit space in it, or this east entrance, and make it work on that lakefront was a big challenge. And I think we found the ways.
Was one of the issues not competing with the Calatrava and with the Saarinen?
Definitely. Although I think that's easier than we had first thought it was. The Kaler wing, the 1970s expansion of the Saarinen, for example, it achieved a sort of low plinth or base like quality, a simple rectangular form, and basically we're able to sort of extrude that form as a simple rectangular volume, no higher than that base. It produces low linear horizontal lines that the Saarinen and the Calatrava tower above.
When the reveal happened last month, there was almost immediate reaction all over social media. I don't think you can ever please everyone when it comes to a project like this. But, Dan, were you surprised or dismayed by some of the negative reactions that you were getting?
We know that there will always be criticisms to a new piece of architecture. I mean, architecture is one of the most impactful things in a community. I would say that we received a tremendous outpouring of support for the project and what we're trying to do. I think one of the most misunderstood pieces of releasing those images was that it was a very necessary next step in our design process to provide update to Milwaukee County supervisors, and specifically the Parks and Culture Committee of Milwaukee County. And so we saw it as a kind of a skeleton in a way, an interim design that was showing the massing, a change from an east sort of atrium events-only space to one that is much more functional, much more interactive publicly with additional exhibition space. And so we of course had to provide a necessary update on that without knowing what the exterior was going to look like exactly. What's the color of the building? What were the windows going to be like, and so on? And we knew that we would take some criticism at this juncture of it, but there's more design evolution to go, and some brand new evolution, as you know, that I think will take care of a lot of those criticisms.
Well, Jim, one of the things that was going on at that time was news that you had left, but obviously now you're back. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, sure. I think that in any difficult project, and this is a very high level of difficulty in particular given the site, I think that the level of complexity of the project and the large number of people involved, you know, I think there's a dynamic tension that develops in any project between the internal needs of a building, between the needs of a site. And I think we reached a point where we might call it a rough spot where we had perhaps a bit much dynamic tension in the room, and I decided that it would be best at that time to step down from the design leadership role. I continued to engage with my team. I helped them with duct routing, for example, at one point. And I think the HGA and Milwaukee Art Museum continued to work on the project as a team. And within a month and a half or so, I think the we started getting conversations between HJ and Milwaukee Art Museum that suggested it was time for me to return to a leadership role. And I was very happy to do that, and it's been a great experience for the last 3 weeks.
Well, let's talk about some of those changes that have come out in the last 3 weeks. You sent over some pictures of those proposed changes. Can you talk me through what's different from what those – Dan, you were talking about the initial things that were released mm-hmm. on the 8th of April. What's changed?
Well, I think one thing that that we've been working on is the design that was released in April. It had one area where the upper story cantilevered out. But one of the things that we've worked on now is both on the north, east, and south to have this building cantilever out over the lakefront. And that's where the building overhangs the lake without any means of visible means of support. Columns are retreated into the building, and the upper building is protruding out. And I think this lends a sort of dynamic floating quality and also allows public space to sort of move through and under the building. And it's a kind of embracing gesture. It's also a notion that perhaps wave action has acted on this building to carve out or remove that first floor. And then that first floor has become all glass public space. That's something that didn't happen. There was some solid wall, quite a bit of it in that earlier design. Now essentially the entire first floor is public space, open, transparent, so someone can go in, have a cup of coffee, and see Lake Michigan on a sub-zero day, which looks really cool, by the way. But most Milwaukeeans don't have a chance to see that. And now they would, sort of like a living room for the city. And I think these changes have really been positive.
My first impression of the photos was the idea that as I'm walking along, and which I do a lot, I run and walk and bike along there like a lot of folks do, is that I can see through that first floor now and I can see the Calatrava. Yeah.
Well, we thought that was a very important development. We realized that there are the very practical things that are needed, the exhibition space, et cetera. But we did acknowledge that there are hundreds of thousands of people along the lakefront. And so the solution that HGA and Jim came up with we thought was brilliant, and that is to add an element of transparency and to take it one step further and not use glass that is opaque or black. If you look at the Kaler East Wall addition today, that is black glass. You can't see in. So by using more transparency, by allowing for public to be in that space all along the entire first floor along that lake walk is something that was really, I think, a very powerful gesture about that welcoming sense that we want to convey with this smallish addition on the east end.
Is this version pretty final? I mean, I know things aren't final until they're built pretty much, but are we looking at what seems to be pretty solid?
I think so. And we have quite a few decisions to make, but not ones that will substantially alter the image of the building. For example, we're talking about cladding this building in metal, a natural metal that would patina. So we've been looking, for example, at two metals that have a somewhat similar appearance, both a dark zinc, and we've been looking at a naturally weathered copper. And we're excited about these because, unlike most materials, these actually develop a patina. For example, the sarin and the kaolin out of concrete, they actually develop a weathered patina. It's not supposed to be super clean. There's some evidence of the passage of time and of age. The Calatrava, not so much. The Calatrava is supposed to be gleaming white with no patina upon it.
Pristine almost.
Right. Yeah. And so actually that's one aspect of contrast that we're after. We're joining the sarin and kaolin of buildings that are supposed to show weathering, supposed to show patina and the advance of time, while the Calatrava is forever gleaming. Hopefully if you can keep it clean, Dan, you know, good luck with that.
We'll
you know?
Do our best to keep it clean. I would add, I think one of the other breakthroughs in this design development was that the east entrance did not need to be white. That in fact it makes more sense for its coloration, its value to be tied to the Kaler edition and ultimately the Saarinen edition rather than Quadracci Pavilion, which is that beautiful gleaming white moment. It seems to make a lot more sense to pay attention to that weathering and aged concrete effect that Jim is describing and then to use a different material, whereas Quadracci Pavilion is white. Whereas the Saarinen and Kaler editions are concrete, what could be done there that could be different yet be harmonious with all of those elements? And I think HGA and Jim have come up with some very, very, very powerful solutions for this.
Do you see the actual landscaping changing around there very much, that actual walkway will be built differently or adjusted?
No, I think that we'd like to really maintain the walkway. The walkway was actually designed by internationally significant landscape architect Dan Kiley. One of the things he did there was he did a pair of locust trees with a beautiful white precast bench, and under the bench are lights that light the walk. And so there's this rhythm of double trees that marches down the lake walk. We think that that's a significant landscape by one of America's best landscape architects. He passed away, sadly, about 5-6 years ago, but it's one of his last works. So we're definitely going to be maintaining a master's work there. But I think we're going to have a bit of a courtyard in front of our building where we're proposing a grove of trees, not unlike the groves that Kiley produced in front of Milwaukee Art Museum or in front of Milwaukee's Performing Arts Center downtown by the river, a grove of trees in which people could sit out in chairs or tables and look at the lake from a slightly elevated position. So I think we're going to try to enrich that landscape and allow people to inhabit it on the lakefront. Mm-hmm. And it's currently just a broken concrete pit plaza from 1977.
Right. And then there's also kind of a sloped, grassy area, mm-hmm. too, in between mm-hmm. there. And there's a couple of sculptures. Will they stay?
Mm-hmm. It's a very important piece of this because we want to invite people to stay, to linger, to spend time outside as well as inside the museum. And so by design, there is a grassy area for those who want that. There is a patio area, and we envision tables and chairs and comfortable seating. There could even be some bench work that goes into that. Ultimately, this fits into, and I'm glad Jim mentioned the Kiley plan because I, too, agree it's a very, very beautiful plan and very powerful along the lakefront. But we see next generation planning for the museum to include sculpture. What is the master plan going to look like once this is finished? And that circulation path that's created now of being able to come in an east entrance, to be able to enter on Quadracci Pavilion side, it allows us to think about all of the grounds of the building all the way down to Michigan Avenue and that south piece of land, all the way up connecting to Veterans Park as a place where there could be sculpture as part of the museum experience.
So you're thinking of actually creating an outdoor sculpture garden.
Absolutely. Will be part of our master plan. In fact, I think we'll get through this repair and renovation phase and we'll immediately go to work in thinking about what that master plan could look like, what the siting could be, et cetera.
and what pieces that you want to
That's
include.
The fun part That's that the curators get to have is, you know, we'll probably identify key locator sites and opportunities for large monumental works as well as small niche pieces and then develop a plan for acquisition over time. Sculpture is expensive. It tends to be very permanent. So that will probably undergo a very careful process of thinking about acquisition.
Now, where are we in the process with the building? What's next?
Well, I think we would typically in a project like this one go through a series of developments from schematic design. And I would say that given the amount of work that's been done on the project, we're sort of in advanced schematic design moving into design development. And design development would be a phase and followed by construction documents. And then we're on schedule to be in the ground, so to speak, in September of this year.
So on track.
That's right.
And I would add from the dollars side of it, which is, of course, how everything gets built, it's a $25 million project minimally. We hope to raise a little bit more than that because we do have other things on our checklist and our wish list. The county, of course, has been a most generous contributor to this, recognizing that it owns the buildings and it has deferred maintenance, is putting in $10 million in repairs. We will raise at least $15 to $15.5 million to get this project completed. And we are on track. We are just over the $14 million mark with our fundraising, so we are well on our way. We hope to exceed goal. And I, too, feel that we will likely be putting the shovel in the ground come fall, early fall.
Jim, thank you so much for coming in and talking a bit about your side of the project. And Dan, of course, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much.
Dan Keegan is the director of the Milwaukee Art Museum. Jim Shields is principal at HGA Architects and the lead architect for the Milwaukee Art Museum's planned addition. There are links to renderings of the new design from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. There is also a public meeting to discuss the project in front of the Lakefront Development Advisory Commission this evening at 5:30 at O'Donnell Park's Miller Room. We also have an editor's note to pass along. We spoke with architecture critic Tom Bamberger, who had been outspoken in his criticism for the original design. That interview took place before the new design was revealed to us, so in the interest of fairness, we have invited him to appear on a subsequent show to comment on the new design. Aurora Healthcare has started publishing a new medical journal, one with a significant distinction. We'll find out what that is when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.